So it's been 3 weeks since I've been here, so I am so glad to be here just with you guys. Also, it's been 3 weeks since I taught. Now, tonight, normally my teaching is on how to walk with the Trinity, those kind of issues, or those kind of things, fellowship, making them, you know, those kind of things. Tonight, and sometime in the next month, it's going to be a second one, don't know exactly when, I am going to do a total change-up in a whole different direction. And I've wrestled back and forth with it, whether I should do it, but I think it's the right thing. You know, when you exit, exit this hallway on the left side is seven pictures. They represent an arbitrary distinction of what we call the seven mountains or the seven kingdoms, or dividing society up into seven sections. It came from Bill Bright of Campus Crusade for Christ, Lauren Cunningham, Youth for Christ. They came up with that. The point is this. We're to affect our society, not a whole everything. You know, there's politics or government, there's education, there's sports, there's media, there's family, there's whatever else I left off, the church. Christians, when Jesus Christ came to earth, he says, "I have come to reveal my kingdom." Of course, Jews got that totally mixed up, thinking it was a physical kingdom where he was going to kick out the Romans. Well, that is going to happen at the second coming. They just got ahead of themselves. What he said was, "I'm going to set up a spiritual kingdom and give you my principles, give you my rules, give you my guidelines, and you apply it to your life and those spheres of authority around you. Government, education, school systems, etc., etc." Well, somewhere in the 20s and 30s, definitely by the 50s, the church took in a false teaching that church is just for us personally and what goes on in this building, and we stopped influencing the culture. And so today you hear Christians all the time go, "What's wrong with the culture?" What's wrong with the culture is very simple. Christians withdrew. It created a vacuum, and there can never be a vacuum. There's a book Francis Schaeffer wrote. I don't remember the exact title. It was something along the lines of the Myth of Neutrality. I read it in the 70s when I was a teenager. But it's an excellent book. How Should We Then Live? That was the name of the book. And it goes through, I can give you a synopsis. He says there can never be a neutrality. So when Christians withdrew, another philosophical system filled the breach. And that's where is basically humanism, whatever we think is right, we do it. And that's where this whole thing that we battled for 40 years, separation of church and state, Christians shouldn't be in the state shouldn't be in Christians, and that's just not biblical. God wants us, not in a dictatorial way, but to take His principles and be great governors, be great teachers, be great sports people that as they apply to that. And that's why the culture, listen to me, this is the key point of what I was saying. The culture is the way it is in America. In other countries it's different. It's because Christians withdrew and said Christianity has no influence there. We bought into a lie. And so I hear all the time Christians blame any government. Let's just pick on the national government now. Blame on the national government. I can't believe they're doing this. I can't believe I'm doing that. I'm going to give you a simple fact of just demographics. The reason the government has been so bad over the last 20, 30 years is because of evangelical Christianity. There is no debate about it. Well, Craig, how can you say that? Evangelical Christianity is one of the biggest demographic blocks in America. Now, what's evangelical Christianity? You got Christianity, and then you often have heard the term evangelical Christianity. There's basically two things about Christians. If you believe this, you're in this demographic called evangelical Christianity. Most Christians are not in this. First, there's only one way to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." And there's no other way. Second, the Bible is the inerrant Word of God. We may not always understand it, but it is accurate and it is His words. When you go, "Don't all Christians believe that?" No. It's really sort of scary. But the evangelical Christians believe that. We're in that camp, okay? Now, so how does that affect our government? Do you realize the biggest demographic, one of the biggest demographics in this country, is the evangelical Christianity? You can go search it out. Do you realize no more than 50% of any national election over the last 20 years has evangelical Christians voted in them? No more than 50%. The highest was in the last one, a year and a half ago, with President Trump. If 75% had voted biblical values, we would not have most of the government that we have. Correct. In state, county, city, national. It is on us, and in as a corporate way, God holds us accountable. Now, we do our own part. So, if you don't vote, don't tell me. Or you can tell me, and I'm going to say... So, because we are to influence. Well, why should we influence these things? School systems, government. I hear this from Christians. Not here. Because you live in it.
Right.
It's as simple as that. None of us live outside of this nation. None of us live out of the state of Georgia. None of us live out of the whatever county we're in North. It affects us in terms of taxes, in terms of laws, in terms of school system influences and what they're doing. And if we don't influence, thinking somehow or another some sovereign move of God's going to fix it, it's not, it doesn't work that way. He says, I have given authority to you on the earth to be my emissaries. So, tonight and then sometime the next month, I'm going to talk about the two biggest, not the biggest, but two big issues that are going on in our society that I want to give you a biblical viewpoint. And then it's up to you how you decide how to go forward. But I want us to be mature. I love talking about walking with the Holy Spirit. Love talking about His gifts, and that's a common theme. But you know, really, what it says in Ephesians 4:11 and 12, God gives gifts to the church, or Jesus gives gifts to the church. Apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, and teacher. And he lists five things that are to do with this summary. For the maturity of the saints. In the end, when I die and go to heaven, he's probably judging me now. And I'm trying to judge myself the best way I know how. But I'll find out when I get to heaven. He's not going to judge me on whether you were entertained by me. He's not going to judge by whether... you know, whatever, along those lines. He's going to judge, say, Craig, Julie's been here for years. Did she get more mature hanging around you and the ministry than if she wasn't? That's the criteria. And so maturity to me is being Christians in our spiritual walk, in our church walk, and in whatever area of mountain, one of those seven that we're assigned to. And we may not be in the government, but we do help vote in the government in our system. And we need Christian principles in it. And that's just maturity to bring Christianity into all of our life. So the two issues I want to talk about, just one tonight, is all the anti-Semitism or all the anti-Jew stuff's going on. What is going on? Because Christians, we just need to beware of this trap. Because I'm seeing whole liberal, non-evangelical Christian denominations becoming anti-Jews, just like they did before Hitler rose in Germany. Now, I don't think there's going to be a Hitler rising. I'm just using that as a point that it happens. And then the second one is, what does the Bible say about socialism? We hear it everywhere. I'm just going to go through verses. I'm not going to tell you how to vote, who to vote for, but I'm going to show you biblical things so that we can apply kingdom principles to whatever we're involved in and be a filter and be mature. Because I want us to be mature and think about these things, not just from spiritual things, but we need to be aware of what's going on locally, nationally, and geopolitically, because you are involved in it. It affects you. Amen? So let's jump in to... let's see. Let's just jump in right now to anti-Semitism. Semitism, if you're not, I think everybody knows, people follow news, that means I'm against Jews, anti-Jews. It's in the international news everywhere. Now, as we go through here, it's real important to separate the country of Israel from the Jewish race. Do you realize And that's where I'm not going to talk about Israel. I'm not going to talk about their politics. That's just something totally different. But you realize there are more Jews in New York City than there is in Israel. Do you realize that in the country of Israel, 40% of their citizens are Arabs? They're not even Jews. That's just a frame of reference. They are, you know, what they do is they're a country, but I'm talking about the race of Judaism. And there's this trend, well, there's definitely a trend in the secular to blame everything on the Jews, from Hollywood to finances. First of all, it's dumb. It's a trope. It's, you're just jumping in. When you look at the facts, it's, yes, they have an influence, but they're like 3 to 4% of Americans. And so but I want to get to a higher level of what's going on. And Charlie Kirk said this, quote, "There's a corner of the internet of people who want to point and blame the Jews for all their problems. Everybody, this is demonic and it's from the pit of hell. And it should not be tolerated, period. It is hyper-online brain rot." And so I want to talk about why. Now, again, we're separating Israel, the modern nation state, from the Jewish race, because the Jews have been hit on, put on, talked about way before 1949. They've been doing that for 4,000 years. You know, I don't want to take the time to do it, but you can find articles of all the Holocaust. They've been the most persecuted people on the planet. Why? And that's where we want to go. Why would they pick such a... There's only like maybe 20 million Christians in the entire... I mean, Jews in the entire earth. Why are they constantly talked about, persecuted? That would be the first thing going, what is going on? Let's talk about some facts about Jews and Christianity. So my basic premise is this. Racism, anti-Semitism is racism. You're a racist against a group of people. So as Christians, we should never be racist. We should never be racist against whoever. Pick out some tribe, some group. Chinese, Hispanics, rednecks, whoever. And Jews. It's just racist. First of all, it's sin. But think about this. One day, there's a man that's going to come out of heaven at the second coming, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus is a Jew. And he's going to be a Jew when he comes back. And he was a Jew on the earth. Now you see why there's such... We're going to talk about it more. But now do you see why there's such paranoid, demonically driven? That's a little heavy what Charlie Kirk said. Said it was demonic. You know, we often think of Jesus in whatever view... We are Hispanic, white, and that's okay. He's all things to all people, but he's Jewish. And that's one reason the devil stirs this up. And us as Christians, we need to get a higher level of discernment. Because I'm telling you, you just go Google it. Whole denominations have come against the Jews. There is no discernment. When you come against the Jews, are the Jews perfect? No. But I'm going to peck on white because I'm a white person, if you couldn't tell. My beautiful tan. Scottish, Irish, Scottish, British heritage. I have no chance. When you're saying you're against the Jews... Well, how do you think Jesus feels? He ain't going to get his feelings hurt. But that is just a dumb saying. Are the Jews perfect? No. But are white people perfect besides me?
Definitely.
No. We've got to guard this. Think about this. We are a product and come out of the whole Old Testament. Every book in the Old Testament that you read, Proverbs, Psalms, Genesis, depending on when you want to count the Jewish race starting. Count it started with Abraham, so maybe Genesis until then. Every book that you read regularly was written by a Jew. What do these liberal denominations do? I don't know. It's insane. There's no discernment. They're listening to the demonic thoughts. Every book but two in the New Testament was written by Jews. This is a big deal. We owe Christianity to the Jews. So let's talk about this, because there's so many weird teachings out there. There's so many right-wing podcasters, conservative, I'm not even talking about liberal, that have just gone on this anti-Semitic rant that is just demonic. I mean, listen to it and go, this is not God. I'm not even talking about the left-wing side. Turn over to Galatians 3, verse 6. Now, I know I'm in teaching mode, but we need to understand our heritage and understand the place of Jews and Gentiles. Now, I want to use a word. I think all of you are mature in here, but just to, so you make sure. Jews refers to an ethnic, biological race. It's not something you join. I can't go join the Jews. If I was born a Jew, I'm a Jew. Now, I know because of dilution, there's probably all kinds of percentages. Probably not 100% Jews too much anymore. But you get the point. And so, everybody else that's not a biological Jew is what the Bible calls a Gentile. That's almost the entire human race. So we need to understand those words. I think you'll do. Galatians 3:6-9. Galatians 3:6. In the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham, then, are those who put their faith in God. What's more, the Scriptures looked forward to this time when God would make the Gentiles right in His sight because of their faith. The Gentiles. That's us. This was thousands of years before it came true. We basically could not be saved until the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There was a process you could become into the Jewish race, but it was a long process. Not into the Jewish race, but the Jewish religion. It was only the Jews that got saved. What's verse 8? What's more, the Scriptures look forward to this time when God would make the Gentiles right in His sight because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when He said, all nations will be blessed through you. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. So what's going on? He prophesied over Abraham, when you look at the stars, this is how many children you're going to have. The amount of Jews that have been on the earth are not enough to cover all those stars. He was prophesying not just the Jewish race, but also the Gentiles that get saved are going to be your spiritual children. Amen. So we are not... Let me look at the next verse. So go turn over to Romans 11, verse 17. These are big topics. I'm trying to hit the top, the tip tops. And you can go do a Claude AI or Perplexity or Google Gemini and do some more study on it. Those tools are actually pretty good for some of this stuff. So keep this in mind. We're going to talk about it here in Romans 11, 17. Our salvation started with the Jews, and we have it because of the Jews, and it's going to end with the Jews, and I'm going to talk about that. So why would we be anti-Semitic against them? Do not give in to the spirit of the devil trying to stir this up. Now Israel, the state, the nation, We're not going there. I'm not defending that. That's a group of people in a nation. Do they do some bad stuff? Yes. But let's be honest. America has done worse. In Afghanistan, in Vietnam, and in Nicaragua, and in places all over the country, and in Libya, and in Iraq, we have thrown over more regimes and caused more chaos than Israel could ever imagine. But we tend to separate ourselves from that. Say, well, we're Americans, but we're not for the states. We've got to do the same way with them. Let's just be careful. People are people. We make bad decisions. So the Jews started with Abraham. That started the special relationship that they called Jews. And so let's go into Romans 11, 17. And I want to say this. Are we Jews? No. But I'm going to tell you our special relationship with them. Verse 17, Romans 11. But some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel, these are the Jews, have been broken off. And you Gentiles, are there any Jews in here? Okay. So you're some percentage of Jews. So the rest of us are Gentiles. You, I'm not, that's between you and God. I'm not sure how he works out the percentages. Are you a Jew at 51 or 49 or 71? I don't know. And you Gentiles who were branches from a wild olive tree have been grafted in. So now you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. Verse 18. He's writing to the Romans now. The Romans were Gentiles. But you must not brag about being grafted in to replace the branches that were broken off. You are just a branch, not the root. I can't tell you the stuff I see on the internet. And I don't really like it, but I research it because my mountain is the church to try to guide and pastor people. People just are dissing and putting off the Jews and saying we don't have any part of them. That's not right. Are they saved? No. We're going to get back to that. But Christianity started from them and through them from the Old Testament, and we were grafted into that. Now, have they rejected a lot of it? Yes. But how many white people, since I'm picking on white people, have rejected? Verse 20, well, you may say those branches were broken off to make room for me. I hear this on the internet all the time, not these same words. But remember, those branches were broken off because they didn't believe in Jesus, and you are there because you do not believe. You do believe. So don't think highly of yourself, but fear what could happen. For if God did not spare the original branches, He won't spare you either. If we attack the Jews, we're attacking, I'm talking the, not specifically, we've got to separate the nation state. If we attack the Jews, we're attacking our roots, and we're attacking where Jesus is going to end up at the end of the world. This is very important to understand, and I don't have time to go into all of this. The salvation message started with the Jews. You know how they got saved in the Old Testament? The exact same way we get saved today. The exact same way. They had to believe in a Messiah coming and that He would take permanently away their sins. Remember it said Abraham was saved by his faith. Faith in what? That a Messiah was coming. They had to deal with their daily sins or the offerings of lambs. But here on this side, we get saved the exact same way by faith in the Messiah who has come. And we don't have to sacrifice lambs. We do 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins because a great sacrifice has happened. They got saved the exact same way we did. And all of us except maybe Joel over here, we were grafted in, and Abraham is not our biological father. Are y'all hanging with me? I know this is deep, but I want us to mature like the Jews, but he is our spiritual father. It's like Israel over here, who's white, no hair like me. It's obvious that he came from me. I'm doing a joke. Why? Because he was adopted. Does he have Scottish, English roots? You can look at him and tell me. But is he a Cooper? Yes. He's written into the will like every other Cooper. Okay? Oh, did we? And so he's like the Gentiles in this analogy, and I'm like the Jew. Don't buy the lie the devil gives of hating the Jews, and the Jews are all the problem. I'm telling you, I follow missions. Israel has got more freedom of religion, and they do have their problems, than India, North Korea, China, Nigeria, where there are no Jews, or very little. This is human problems. And it is by the grace of God we were adopted in. He uses the words grafted into a vine, but in modern terms, it's adopted in. There's a lot of weird teaching out there, and I'm not going to go through all the weird teaching on Jews. What I'm going to do is tell you what I think is right, and then when you hear something that's weird, you go, something's not quite right. You know, they tell me that bank tellers, I've never been one, but they tell me that bank tellers are not trained to notice counterfeit money by looking at counterfeit money. They are trained by looking repeatedly and using, this is real money. And then when they find something that doesn't feel and look like real money, it sort of stirs something up in them to do further more research. This is the same way. So this is what I believe the Bible teaches. The Jewish race is saved the exact same way we are. There's no special way just for them. Why? Because this is how it was in the Old Testament. They had to believe in a Messiah that's coming. Now they believe in a Messiah that's come. There's a big teaching, it's pretty big in the evangelical community, that they have their own special way of getting saved. No, they don't. Jesus, who was a Jew, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to go to the Father but through me. Now, God is a God of restoration. He started with Adam and Eve in the garden. It was perfect. They blew it. They messed up. That's where we're at. But as you look at scriptures, in the end, he's going to restore the earth to some type of God, some type of Adam and Eve, Garden of Eden setup. He's going to do the same thing with the Jews. The gospel, he gave the gospel to them first. Well, in the Old Testament and then in the New Testament. And we know in the New Testament they rejected it. And we're going to come back around to that. I'm telling you, he's going to restore it that the Jews will have their own big revival before it's over with. Matter of fact, the Scriptures is pretty clear. I didn't come prepared to talk about this tonight, but the Scriptures is pretty clear. He's not coming back until there's a full circle. And there is, not everybody, but there's some revival, big revival among the Jews. Has it happened yet? No. Or there's some Jews that are Christians? Yes, but they're a very small minority. You can go and look at the demographics of Christians in Israel. So we're not going to be anti-Semitic because God is committed to what He started. He's going to finish. He's not going to forget His own race. He's not going to forget what He started. Are y'all falling asleep or are y'all deep in thought here? And so just realize the Jews in a majority will be saved. We talk about a revival in the earth all the time. You hear it at least in our movement. And we generally think of Gentiles because that's most of the earth. And that's true. But somewhere there's going to be a revival of Jews. And it says they won't be revived totally until they're provoked by the righteousness and the right living and of Gentiles. And they're going to go, that's a better way. That's one reason we want to live with kingdom principles. Live with righteousness, justice, joy, and peace. Because it's going to provoke them to go, the God that we worship, Yahweh, there's something about what they're doing. And we're going to provoke them into it. Not in a proud way, but it's going to cause them to come back in. Yeah, let's look at this. Romans 11:25. Y'all with me for a few more minutes? Probably more than a few more minutes. But I want to cover the subject because you don't want to be caught in this. If we go down this route of anti-Semitism, this is what happens. In that area of your life, deception starts coming in. And in that area of life, you cut off, not your whole everything, but you start cutting off being able to hear the Holy Spirit correctly in that area of your life, and deception comes in. And then darkness in that area comes in, and we want to be fully whole and fully free. Romans 11:25. This is, again, Paul. He deals with this a lot with the Gentiles because this pride comes in. I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud about yourselves. Some of the people of Israel have hard hearts. But this will last only until the full number of Gentiles comes to Christ. And so Israel will be saved, as the scriptures say. The one who rescues will come from Jerusalem, and he will turn Israel away from ungodliness. It's coming. Instead of anti-Semitism, we pray for a revival. And this is my covenant with them, that I will take away their sins. Many of the people of Israel are now enemies of the good news, and this benefits you Gentiles. So let's don't get proud. How many of the 8 billion people on the earth are enemies of God that are Gentiles? Billions. Yet they are still the people He loves because He chose their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For God's gifts and His call can never be withdrawn. Before we move to verse 30, this is a big deal. Martin Luther, who was the great Protestant reformer, he, at the end of his life, became very bitter and gave in to an anti-Semitic spirit. He wrote books on them that were just bad. Okay? Because he was witnessing to them and they didn't get saved. Well, I mean, that's not good, but he became very bitter. His book was the main impetus of Adolf Hitler to kill and persecute the Jews 400 years later. He referenced his book. Now they say, I've never read this, but it's probably out there, that Martin Luther at the end of his life recanted and said, you know, I was wrong. That's why we got to have Christian perspectives, because it just reverberates through society. Verse 30, once you Gentiles were rebels against God, but when the people of Israel rebelled against Him, God was merciful to you instead. Now they are the rebels, and God's mercy has come to you so that they too will share in God's mercy. And so you see this process of what's going on. All right, one last lie that I want to cover. Y'all all right?
Yep.
Is, and this is what Martin Luther wrote about that Hitler jumped on, that the Jews killed Jesus. And that was one of the major reasons he said, well, we need to kill them because they killed Jesus. And he was driven by demonic forces and he just used those as excuses. But this is a lie. Let's look at the facts. Who sentenced Jesus to death? Pontius Pilate, the Romans. Now, did the Jews or the high priest encourage it? Yes. But it was the Roman government that sentenced him to death because he's the only one that could do it. Did Pontius Pilate did Caiaphas, the high priest, have a hand in it? Of course. But if Pontius Pilate hadn't said yes, he couldn't have been killed. Turn to John 10, and I think this is the last verse, verse 17. John 10:17. The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. For I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. Ultimately, Jesus allowed himself to die because of the bigger picture of what he was trying to do, which we're not going to cover here today. So, That's good. It's a good ending. So we want to pray for Jews like we want to pray for our neighbors. The faster they get saved in revival, the faster Jesus Christ is coming back. That's a little selfish, isn't it? All right. Any comments, questions, misunderstandings? Now, I know there's all kinds of rabbit holes, all kinds of derivations. I mean, there is more conspiracy theories, more theological truths around this, but I've tried to hit what I think is the high points and the most important thing from a biblical perspective. Are Jews perfect? No. But am I perfect? No. Are nations perfect? No. But there's very few nations that can put up against some of the sins we've done in our own nation.
Nobody's perfect, but
they see it. That's right. Has this been helpful?
Yes.
All right. Let's close in prayer. 7:25. Get home. Get in your warm bed. Just be glad you're not in Nashville. They're going on day 7 without power, parts of it. Yeah, I'd have to get a hotel. Man, my house would be like 25 degrees now. Or come up here at the church if they have power. Father, I thank you for maturity that's in this room. I thank you we're on the road to maturity and we are growing every day. Father, I just pray for discernment in myself and those around us to know how to walk in this culture, which has some really, really good things going on in it. And I want to interrupt here. As I go around the world and see things, some of the best teaching, comes out of America to the world. There's no doubt about it. This country is the most generous giver in the world. There is no doubt about it. You can look at the demographics, go Gemini it. It's crazy. But that's why the devil is constantly coming against Christians to try to hijack us and our influence. And so, Father, today we pray for the salvation of this country, pray for revival in this country. We pray for salvation and revival among the Jews in New York City, amen, in Israel, wherever they're at. Because they're your biological race. The rest of us are grafted into your family. We're adopted in. And Father, I thank you that you're going to end this thing with total restoration. In Jesus' name, amen.